Welcome back. You're listening to episode 6 of the Untapped Potential podcast, where we dive into the nuances of body-focused repetitive behaviors like chronic skin picking, hair pulling, nail biting, and cheek biting. We're here to explore what it takes to heal. My name is Rafaela Marie. I'm a dermatillomania coach, and I struggled with over a decade of chronic skin picking. I have dedicated the past 4 years to understanding the behavioral science and brain science behind what it takes to heal from a body-focused repetitive behavior. And this podcast is dedicated to sharing with you all the information, strategies, knowledge, and tips I have collected over the years that have helped me to heal and also help my clients as well. So here they all are in one place for you to listen. We're going to talk about how you can support your child who struggles with a body-focused repetitive behavior. I have a lot of parents who reach out to me, especially mothers, wanting to know how they can help their child. And maybe you're in a position where you struggle with a BFRB as well, and so does your child. Or maybe you're listening because you struggle with a BFRB and you're worried your child might pick it up as well. And so you want to learn how you can prevent it. And we're going to cover that all in this session. Now, I understand that some children can develop this behavior at 2 or 3 years old. And then there's also other children who develop it later on, maybe even as teenagers. And so I'm going to do my best to address how you can help a child regardless of what age they're at. And the first thing I want to share with you that's really important to acknowledge when it comes to helping a child who struggles with chronic skin picking or hair pulling or nail biting is that the behavior itself is not actually the problem, because we often find we get so focused on what we can see and the damage, the negative damage that we can see on the surface, that we forget to look at what's underneath, or we're not even aware that potentially something is underneath that is causing this, especially because a lot of the treatment options that are recommended are more focused on the behavior and they're not really looking at what is under the surface. And this can really distract us from being able to help and support a child in a well-rounded, wholesome way. And that's what we truly want to achieve. You don't want them to feel ashamed or feel like they want to hide. You want them to feel comfortable in their body and in their own skin. And I can understand how frustrating it must be to see your child struggling with this behavior and the powerlessness you must feel to not just be able to make it better, to not just be able to take that pain away and take that struggle away from them and make everything okay. And I just want to acknowledge that, because all the parents that reach out to me care so deeply and they want to help their child so much. And this can actually sometimes get in the way of truly helping your child. Because when a child sees that something they're doing is causing distress to their parents, they're going to naturally want to not do that thing, because biologically that's how children are wired. They want to be and act in a way that gets them the most love and affection from you. And that is simple human biology. It is totally normal. It's attachment theory, essentially, which we won't dive into now. But when they see potentially your stress or anxiety around this destructive behavior that they're engaging in, when they see that it upsets you, when they see potentially that you get frustrated with them, because it's understandable that maybe you do get frustrated sometimes because the behavior is destructive. And why can't we just help them to stop? Why can't we just make them stop? And the thing is, this behavior is a tool and it has a purpose. It's there to help them soothe themselves. And they know that it's not a good behavior. And if they could, they would stop. Also because potentially they see how much it upsets you. And a child is naturally going to want to stop doing something that upsets their parent, but they're caught between a rock and a hard place in this situation because they're fighting against their own biology. They want to stop the behavior because they can see it's upsetting their parent, their primary caregiver. And on the other hand, they need this tool because it's the one thing that they use and they know how to use to help soothe themselves. And so they can't seem to be able to stop, because that's the thing with behavioral disorders or addictions, is that we can't just stop. There is a process to learning how to stop, but in the moment we can't just stop. And so this creates a conflict in a child because they want to stop, but they can't. They know that this behavior isn't good for them, and they know it upsets the people they love. And so what option do they have? They can't just stop in that moment. And they don't want to upset you. They don't want to cause more pain because they love you. And so what happens? They start to withdraw. They start to maybe hide the behavior. They don't want to talk about it, or they shut down, or they become less open about talking about what's going on with them. Now, maybe this is your experience. Maybe it's not. Regardless, the best way that we can support a child, regardless of the age, when it comes to a body-focused repetitive behavior, is trying to see beyond the behavior and see what is triggering it and how can we support them to manage what the triggers are. And the triggers are always emotional. There is always emotion underneath. Even if they are subconsciously scanning, there is emotion underneath that is triggering that need for self-soothing. And you as a parent, you have an incredible power to help transform how they interact with their emotions. And so the very first thing that I say to any parent who wants to help their child with a BFRB is stop focusing on the behavior. Don't tell them to stop doing it, and don't remind them of the negative consequences of engaging the behavior, because they understand the negative consequences. They understand that the behavior isn't good. They don't necessarily understand why they engage in the behavior, but reminding them that it's not good for them and telling them to stop or swatting their hand away when you notice them scanning or picking or pulling, it's only going to build shame because they are very aware. They don't want to do this. They understand the negative consequences. They understand how it upsets you. They don't want to, but they can't control it in that moment. So in those moments when you noticed scanning or picking, ask yourself, how can I show unconditional love in this moment? How can I put aside the behavior and get curious about what's going on inside their world? Can ask them how their day is going. How are they feeling? How are things with friends? How are things at school with their teachers? Is there anything they're feeling a bit stressed about, or is there anything they need help with? Because again, the behavior is a tool for soothing. And so maybe there's something going on in their life that they're feeling a bit overwhelmed about. And just by you asking, you can actively start to help them manage the root cause of why they're actually engaging the behavior, rather than addressing the behavior, which can just lead to shutdown or shame or them feeling bad about themselves. Instead, you're going to the root cause and seeing, what can I actually help them with? Because you can't make them stop. That's their journey. You can't force anyone to do anything. And of course, you want them to be able to stop because you love them so much and you know that it would be better for them if they could. We can't force that to happen though, and neither can they. And so to truly support them, getting curious about what's going on in their world and potentially what could be triggering the need for that soothing, and then helping them with that thing without even mentioning the behavior, that is how you're going to support them the best. And you know what? Sometimes words aren't even necessary. You could just go and give them a massive hug and tell you how much you love them and all the ways that you think they're an amazing human being. Giving that love and that warmth and that comfort is huge, because maybe that's all they need. Maybe they don't want to talk. Maybe they don't need to talk. Maybe they just need some closeness and some comfort and some love, because that in itself is incredibly soothing. That's soothing. That's the power that you have as a parent. And then also, depending on the age of your child, you can also ask them what they're comfortable with. You can ask them, let them set the boundaries for how you communicate with them about the behavior. Maybe they don't want you to bring it up all the time. Maybe they don't want to be asked questions. Now, if they don't want you to bring it up to them, if they don't want to be asked questions, you can still support them by asking how they're doing, how their week has been, how school is, how their friends are, how they're feeling, without actually asking about the behavior. Because again, the behavior is a symptom. When you help them work through the root cause, the symptom is going to get better. And this also takes the pressure off of you. Because like I said, you can't control the behavior, but you can give them a whole lot of love and support and understanding, and you can help them work through difficult times and find solutions to issues they're facing. You can help them work through intense emotions. You can help them to become resourceful and independent and confident in themselves. That is an incredible power that you have as a parent. It's really, really beautiful. And I also just want to take a moment to acknowledge you for being here, listening to this podcast, looking for answers and solutions and ways to help your child. That is incredible. You are an amazing parent and you're doing such a good job. And your awareness and your presence and your willingness to learn is a huge asset to your child in terms of them healing from a BFRB, but also just in terms of their life in general. Having a parent like you is a gift. And having people like you on this earth is a gift. So thank you for being here and listening and searching for answers and searching for ways to do things differently and potentially better. So the first point I'm really trying to drive home here is that the behavior is not the problem. And by focusing on the behavior, we're only creating more confusion and potentially shame and a feeling of being stuck. And even though it's absolutely coming from a good place, focusing on the behavior will only get you so far. And before we move on to the next part of this episode, which is going to dive even deeper, I just want to highlight the big no's, things that you can really just throw in the bin. You can just throw it out the window. And the first thing is asking a child, why are you picking or why are you pulling? Most adults don't know why they engage in this behavior. So a child probably isn't going to either. And all it does is it's confusing, it's frustrating, and it can lead to a sense of shame because they don't know. They understand that the behavior is bad. They don't know why they do it. And you're asking them why and they don't have an answer. They don't have a good enough quote unquote excuse to be engaging this behavior. And so maybe they even feel a bit weak or powerless or stupid. And even though that question is coming from a loving place, there is no point to it. It doesn't help. It's not going to get answers and it's not going to give insights. That's why I say the better questions are, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How's your week been? How has school been? Is there anything you want to share with me? Those are far more powerful questions that are going to give you far better answers and insights into how your kid is actually doing. And potentially, without them having to say, without even having to mention the skin picking or the hair pulling, you're getting insights into potentially why they're engaging in that behavior. So that's the first thing. Throw out the question, why are you picking or pulling? The second thing is, if you notice them scanning or picking, we don't want to swat away their hands or tell them to stop. Again, it's not addressing the root cause. It's not getting to why they're actually engaging their behavior. Just remind yourself, it's a tool for self-soothing. So what they really need in that moment is not for their hand to be swatted away, but maybe for a big hug and a whole lot of love and connection. And when it comes to telling them to just stop, that really depends on what you have agreed on, the boundaries that you have set, that your child has set with you and you've helped them to set with you on what they find okay. One of my clients who struggled with chronic skin picking, her daughter did as well. They sat down and she asked her what she was comfortable with. She said, is it okay if I remind you or if I bring it to your attention if I notice you're subconsciously scanning or picking at spots on your skin? And her daughter said, yeah, that's okay. It's actually really helpful. I appreciate it when you do that. So she let her daughter set the boundary. And so she knew, okay, she actually does appreciate that. And it is a form of connection when I do that. We want to just make sure that our words and our actions are a way of connecting with rather than trying to get rid of certain behaviors. Because when we try to just shut down a behavior and stop it, we're essentially shutting down the child themselves. So ask them what they're comfortable with. You can ask them, hey, if I notice that you're just doing it subconsciously, is it okay if I bring that to your attention or would you just like me to not say anything? And respect their response. Hold that boundary for them. If they say, I don't want you to bring it up to me at all, that's a boundary they're setting. And I can understand that it will be hard to hold that boundary. But when you do, you're respecting your child's autonomy and you're giving them that respect, which they are then going to internalize and they're going to develop a deeper level of self-respect and confidence in themselves, which in turn is going to help them to heal from the behavior. You see how we keep getting to the root of it instead of focusing on the behavior itself. Now, that doesn't mean if a child says, I don't want you to talk to me about it at all, I don't want you to bring it up at all, that doesn't mean that you can't support them with it. Like I said before, you can still ask them, How are you going? You can still ask those deeper questions. You can still give them a big hug. If you notice them subconsciously scanning, you can go up and give them a big hug. Instead, you can focus on something else. What can you give them? What kind of love and connection can you give them? Instead of thinking, how can I make that stop? And the third thing is, if you feel yourself getting frustrated or anxious or stressed with their continued engagement in this behavior, really take a moment to calm yourself down so that you don't show that to them. I'm not saying to suppress how you feel and hide how you feel from them. It's just the fact that it makes you feel stressed or frustrated or anxious is not their problem to deal with. And I say this with so much love and understanding. They're already dealing with their own world and their own emotions and their struggles and their challenges, and they're still learning and growing and figuring out who they are. And then when they experience your frustration or anxiety or stress over their behavior, that's putting another thing on their plate. Your child is automatically going to feel responsible to try and make that better. And because they can't just stop the behavior, that is stressful for them in itself. Even if they don't recognize it on a conscious level, that is when the shutting down and not really wanting to talk about it happens. And this is a great segue into the next part of this episode. And this is the ultimate way, the absolute ultimate way that you can help your child. Not just in chronic skin picking or hair pulling, but in every aspect of their life. If you really want to help your child heal and recover from this disorder, and I know you do or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, then start doing the work yourself. So when it comes to healing from a BFRB, it's all about reconnecting with your body and learning how to process and feel and express emotions, learning how to meet emotional needs. And you as a parent, you have the power to teach them how to do that. And the best way for them to learn from you is for you to do it yourself. And so the key triggers for a BFRB are things like stress, overwhelm, anxiety. So where you can start is have a look at how you deal with stress, overwhelm, and anxiety. Have a look how when those emotions come up for you, how do you react to them? And how can you begin to improve how you react to them, how you experience that emotion, how you process it, how you meet your own needs? Because when you start to do that, they are automatically going to absorb that from you. You don't even have to tell them what to do. They're just going to see the shift and the change in you, in your behavior, in your energy, and how you speak about yourself and to other people, in all the ways that this kind of personal growth work affects us. They are simply going to absorb that, and it is going to change them for the better as well. That is the most powerful way you can do it. It's actually focusing on you and how you can connect on a deeper level to yourself and connect on a deeper level to your own emotions, and how you can learn to become even more emotionally resilient to your own emotions and become even more expressive and better at meeting your own needs. I have such a cool story to share with you. So one of my previous clients, she struggled with chronic skin picking, and so did her daughter. Originally, I worked with them both in the Cold Turkey Challenge back when it used to be a one-on-one program. Now it's a free online program. So if you want access to that, I'm going to leave a link in the description. So just click on that and you'll be able to get access to the program. So I worked with both of them through the Cold Turkey Challenge. And then I worked one-on-one with the mother in my six-month program. And she, just to say, she was a star client. She is incredible. She really went all in, so ready to create change, so open to exploring different parts of herself and learning new things and new ways of showing up in her own life. And so really her transformation is because she was so ready to create that for herself. And what's really beautiful to see is that her growth and transformation was then reflected in her daughters. And this is something, a story she told me. So they're a very musical family. And one day her daughter was practicing her instrument and she went up to her and she asked, "Hey, is there any schoolwork you need to get done?" And her daughter paused and said, "Hey, this is me time. I'm going to play my instrument and I don't want to think about anything else right now." And what's incredible about that moment is that the mother said that she had used the exact same words in different context. She had used those same words and that same energy, but in a different context. And so her daughters were picking up on her growth. Her daughters were picking up on her new boundaries, on her new dedication to herself and to self-care. And they picked up on that simply by observing and being in her presence. And so when you focus on yourself, when you focus on building your own emotional resilience, when you focus on meeting your own needs and understanding what your own needs are, when you focus on setting your own healthy boundaries, when you build your own self-esteem, self-respect, self-love, and compassion, they are automatically going to absorb that. And they themselves are going to become more confident, more sure of themselves. They are going to build more self-respect for themselves when they see how you respect yourself, when they see how you express and feel your emotions. They're going to absorb that and start learning how to do that for themselves just by seeing you do it. And of course, being able to talk to your children about these changes and about emotions and about self-care and meeting our needs, super important, but it's even more important to demonstrate that through how you conduct yourself in your own life. Actions speak louder than words. And I think that holds huge meaning for children, especially if you want to help your child overcome something that they're struggling with. Because at the core of body-focused repetitive behaviors is not knowing how to deal with intense emotion, not knowing how to process and sit with and feel certain emotions, not knowing how to meet the need that is underneath that emotion, because every emotion carries a need with it. And so we can actually treat a BFRB without even really having to talk about it. Now, there is an aspect where we can focus on the behavior itself, but what comes first is this deeper work. It's the stuff that's underneath. That's way more important. This work makes it much more easier in the future to then be able to curb the behavior and to move on from the behavior when we no longer have such a deep emotional dependence on the behavior, when we no longer depend on chronic skin picking or hair pulling to soothe ourselves, when we know that we have the capacity to soothe ourselves in a healthier way, then we can start to let go of the dependence on our BFRB. And just think of a time when you were a child, when you felt misunderstood. And this could be in any context. It doesn't have to be in the context of self-destructive behaviors. It can be in the context of maybe you made a mistake and people assumed something out of that mistake when the truth of it was something else. Or maybe there was a bit of teasing or bullying when you were a child. Or maybe people didn't understand where you were coming from and you felt misunderstood. Just think of a time when you're a child, because we've had many of those. It's the human experience. Think of a time when you felt misunderstood and just think of how that felt, how isolating that can feel. And now just think of how much it would have meant for you for one of your parents just come up and give you a big hug, for them to tell you how much they love you. And to just ask, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Tell me. I want to listen. I want to understand you. I'm here for you. How has your week been? How is school? How are your friends? How are your teachers? How is that project going? Just think of how much that would have meant to you to feel seen and heard and understood and taken seriously. And not seen for what's on the outside, but seen for what's on the inside, what's going on inside you. And just connect with that feeling, because you can give that to your child. That is the incredible power that you have as a parent, and the incredible gift that you are as a parent, listening to this podcast, looking for answers, looking for new ways of doing things, looking for new ways to support your child and help them. Sometimes we overcomplicate things because we get so wrapped up in what we can see, in what's on the surface, that we forget to look beneath and see what is really needed in a given moment. And so that's what I encourage you to do, to see past the behavior, to see what's underneath, or get curious about what's underneath if you don't know. And that curiosity is going to change a lot, I promise you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope it has answered some of your questions. I hope it's given you some valuable insight. And of course, I would deeply appreciate if you could leave a 5-star review if you loved this episode. Thank you again for being here. Have an amazing week. Give your kid a high five or a hug from me, and I look forward to talking to you again in next week's episode. Bye.